today I decided I wanted to preach on this passage from the Acts of the Apostles. I'll never forget waking up on Monday morning and pouring out my bowl of Fruit Loops or whatever it was. I think it was Frosted Flakes, actually. And I had to get ready to go to a district meeting down in Chico at Morris Memorial United Methodist Church. The district superintendent monthly calls the clergy together to have a big meeting, to eat, to get to be with each other, to worship with each other, to hear a lesson, and to get the business of the district done so that we can go back to our churches. And we usually get done right after lunch. And then right after lunch, we had a very long district committee of ordained ministry meeting. That was exciting, I want to tell you. But earlier that morning, I was sitting in the breakfast room at the parsonage eating my Frosted Flakes, and I pulled out the Bible, and I looked at the scriptures for today. Every Monday morning, I begin the day by looking at what I'm going to preach on next Sunday. And so I opened it to the Acts of the Apostles, and I started reading it. And as I started reading it, I started laughing, and I spewed milk all over the place, because this is a story about the resurrection of Dorcas. And I named my basset after Dorcas, after her. And it's amazing how much Dorcas takes after her. How Dorcas takes after her biblical namesake. Dorcas doesn't like to wake up in the morning. I guess she takes after her master, too. I got up this morning even, and I walked into the den where she sleeps on the couch, and I looked at her, and she was just snoring away. And I went over and I called her, and she didn't move a muscle. And I went and I shook her. And she woke up, and I said, "Time to go outside. You need to go outside, don't you?" "Yeah, I know you do. Let's go outside." And she resisted it, and I had to push her off the couch, and she waddled across the floor, stretching her real long basset body. Till I finally opened the door and had to sort of nudge her out with my foot. The same thing had happened on Monday, and so I got a kick out of this. Here's Dorcas, the story about this wonderful woman of faith, Tabitha, Gazelle, Dorcas, this wonderful woman of faith, this wonderful disciple of the Lord living in Joppa. And she was such a wonderful believer, such a powerful believer, that she just didn't believe. She acted on her belief. Her faith was an active faith. Her faith lived itself out in her life. She was a great servant of others. She did many good works, many acts of charity. She was known for all the many wonderful things that she did, this Dorcas. This Dorcas was the leader in her community, the leader of her people, the leader among the widows, and not just the widows, too, in Joppa. And here this leader, this great believer and worker in the faith, who had so much going for her, who did so many things for the Lord, even someone who is as dedicated to the life and to the faith of Jesus Christ as clearly Dorcas was, this wonderful saint died. It was a difficult situation for the church there. When you had, especially early on, when you had a leader of the church, a wonderful, important proponent of the ministry of Jesus Christ in that community, when she died, it must have ripped something out of that community. They were torn to pieces. They were mourning and they were crying. They cleaned her up, they washed her, they put her in an upper room, and they sent for Peter, the head, if you will, of the church, telling him to come quickly. Now, if you look carefully in the passage, you don't see anything about "come quickly and raise her from the dead." No, it's simply "come quickly." Obviously, they believed that Dorcas was dead and that this was simply a time to mourn her passing. And so they stand in the upper room when Peter gets there, and they're standing together crying, and they're showing Peter all the many wonderful good works that she did, the tunics and the cloaks that she had made for the poor people. And they told him about all the many wonderful things that she had done. And Peter, instead of holding a big prayer service or holding a funeral service for her, and instead of acting in public, he ushers everybody out of the room. He then kneels down by the bed, and according to the passage here, doesn't use any words. He simply silently prays to God. No long flowery prayer. No long elaborate prayer. Just a simple, quiet, internal prayer, seeking God's guidance, seeking God's will in this situation. And then he turns to Dorcas, whose body is lying on the bed, dead. And he says two simple words. Two words in the Greek. Tabitha, he said. Let us stay. Get up. Anastathe, actually. Anastathe. There you go, because it's in the imperative. Get up. He gave a command to her dead body. Get up. Arise. And she wakes up and sees him and sits up in surprise. And he hands her his hand and helps her up off the bed. And then takes her out to show her to her friends, to her people, that she was alive. A wonderful story of the resurrection, of the raising of a member of the household of faith, a member of the community of faith, a leader of the community of the faith, this resurrection of Dorcas. There are a couple of points I want to lift up here. Firstly, Peter did what he did in private. He didn't do it in public. He didn't pray a long prayer in public. He didn't do it for his own aggrandizement. He simply did it because God told him to do it, apparently. And he didn't use a long prayer, and he didn't use a long command. He didn't recount some kind of incantation or magical words or hocus pocus or any of that stuff. He simply gave a command. Tabitha, rise up. Get up. That's the first point. When you're going about God's business, when you're doing what God has called you to do, don't get bogged down in being flowery, showy, impressive. Don't get bogged down in trying to get the accolades of the people around you. Focus in on God's will and do it. And speak God's word boldly. That's one of the things they teach us in preaching class, Gary, is to speak God's word boldly. If you believe it and you proclaim it as if you believe it, it carries with it an authority that goes beyond all the degrees and all the studies and all the commentaries you might have. And that goes for each and every one of us. If we believe the faith, if we believe that Jesus Christ is here with us today, then we should speak it and act like it. It's exactly what Peter did in that room. He ushered everybody out, knelt down himself in this corpse, and prayed, and then turned and demanded, ordered Dorcas's body to get up. My friends, that, firstly and most importantly, is an act of faith. Believing that what he said would occur. And clearly he did it with the direction of God through that prayer. All right, now that's point number one. Act honestly and not for show, but because God's will says so. Point number two is that what Peter said to her in a command, this word here, rise up, is the same essential word in a different context that Peter uses earlier on when he says, this man whom you crucified, speaking about Jesus to the Jews, this man whom you crucified, God has raised up. And here, therefore, we have a connection between the resurrection of Jesus on the one hand and the resurrection of Dorcas on the other. That the resurrection of Jesus Christ brings about the power of God in the lives of the faithful that enables the resurrection of us. You and I, my friends, like Dorcas, can be raised from a dead spirit, a dead emotion, from a dead life to a physical death. We can be raised, my friends, by the power of God working through the resurrection of Jesus, we have eternal life here, now, today, not just tomorrow, not just in heaven, but today. We have the promise of God's presence in our lives. And so when we are beaten down by this world, when this world beats us down, holds us down, destroys our spirit, destroys our emotion, makes us feel as though we are worthless and incapable of doing anything, when the world makes us actually dead in spirit, the good news is that we are promised resurrection. And how does that happen? The third point is simple. Through our fellow believers. Through the body of Christ. That's who Peter was here. First of all, Dorcas had been surrounded by a family of faith, surrounded by the body of Christ. She did her ministry not out on her own with no one there. She did her ministry with the family there in Joppa. She was active in ministry with the community of faith there in Joppa. And when she died, she was surrounded by those who loved her and cared for her, who were now mourning her passing and proclaiming the good things that she had done in the name of Jesus Christ, showing the tunics to Peter, speaking of her with much fond memory and many tears for her passing. She had been surrounded by the family of faith in her ministry. And now Peter had come to kneel and to pray next to her. And then just reach out with a hand of grace. And to reach out with the word of grace. And a command. Rise up. In other words, when we go through this life surrounded by the community of faith, we are blessed and we bless each other. But when we get low, my friends, when we get beaten down, when we get to the point that we cannot move, when we become spiritually, emotionally, and even physically dead, Jesus sends to us a Peter, a disciple, a fellow worker in the vineyard, a fellow disciple of Jesus Christ, a sister, a brother, a friend, to come and be with us and to remind us of the resurrection power that we have in Christ Jesus. And then to reach out, take our hand, and help us up. We don't live this life alone, my friends. We live it together. That was Dorcas's experience within the family of faith there in Joppa, and with Peter, who came to pray with her and to offer grace. And it's what we hear and what we experience here today. Through the reading of the scripture, through the prayers, through the hymns, through the fellowship we have, through the Bible study in our Sunday school classes, through the music we have heard sung by the choir, through the sacrament of Holy Communion, we have offered to us God's grace, which can raise dead bodies, my friends, just as surely as it raised Dorcas. If the grace of God, which brought Dorcas back from the dead, which brought Jesus Christ back from the dead, is available to us today, then what is there that we as the family of faith cannot do? If the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit, if the grace and the power of God, if the grace and the power of Jesus Christ that brought Christ from the dead and brought Dorcas back from the dead is with us here today, then what is there, pray tell, that we cannot do as the family of faith? We have living within us the power of God that can transform and bring back to life dead bodies, dead spirits, dead emotions. Can bring back to life a dead congregation. Can bring us as members of the body to the joy of knowing the life-giving presence of our Savior. Come to the table of the Lord today, and as you kneel and as you pray, I invite you to ask God to fill you with the resurrection power that raised Jesus and raised Dorcas. I invite you to ask God to fill you with the resurrection power and to see in your neighbor on either side of you, fellow disciple, a Peter, if you will, there to help you and for you to help as well. I invite you to come and to kneel and to pray and to receive a bit of bread and a bit of juice in this sacrament of Holy Communion, and know that not only are your sins forgiven, not only are your sicknesses and infirmities placed upon Christ, but through this act of eating and drinking, we truly receive into ourselves by faith the real abiding presence of Jesus. Allow Christ to be formed in your hearts by faith today as you come to this sacrament, to the table of the Lord. Allow the resurrection power that brought Dorcas back from the dead to bring you back too. Open your hearts and minds to receive that wonderful, powerful grace. And then, like Peter, offer it to others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Mm-hmm.